Well, it's time to diet again.
No! Wait, everybody just turned off.
No. Actually, after the first second, they couldn't hear you because you like totally blew out the speakers. Like you were, I just watched your mouth moving and shaking and you were completely dead silent because you expressed yourself so forth. I know it, but it seems like this thought that it's time to diet again rolls through on the regular. And that expression rolls through on the regular has got to be a Southernism.
Oh, stop. We're not talking about rolls today.
Yeah. It makes me want to make snarky comments about all sorts of rolls, but okay.
Well, what if it was possible to end our love-hate relationship with food and live in peace?
Well, today, Cassandra Baker, certified health, life, and mental health coach, shares the good news that finding peace with food can be our new reality.
Speaking from her own personal experience and recovery from two eating disorders, Cassandra leads us to freedom from diet culture.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're talking with Cassandra Baker. Cassandra Baker knows what it's like to have a love-hate relationship with food and her body. It's her own personal experience in recovering from two eating disorders that drive her passion to encourage women to find freedom. She's a certified health, life, and mental health coach and a public speaker, helping women who are trapped in unhealthy habits such as perfectionism, disordered eating, legalism, and people-pleasing so that they can live free in Christ.
Do you feel exhausted from trying to be perfect?
Trapped in the diet cycle?
Tired of the unhealthy eating behaviors you can't stop no matter how hard you try?
Do you feel hatred toward your body?
Are you afraid to break the rules?
Controlled by what other people think of you?
Alone in your struggle with unhealthy habits?
Through her one-to-one signature coaching program, Cassandra helps women who are trapped in unhealthy habits such as perfectionism, disordered eating, legalism, and people-pleasing so they can break free from dysfunctional behaviors in order to live free.
Cassandra can help you uncover what's been stopping you, slowing you down, or keeping you from having a healthy relationship with food.
Develop a powerful vision for your life of freedom and what it will mean for you and those around you.
Discover which lifestyle habits are keeping you from freedom and how to get it with authenticity and grace.
And become crystal clear on a step-by-step plan to break free from dysfunctional behaviors.
Now, Cassandra has a special offer for our Grit and Grace friends.
And if you're listening right now, that's you.
So the first five Grit and Grace listeners who email her at info@cassandrabaker.com, that's K-A-S-S-A-N-D-R-A-B-A-K-E-R.com, will get a complimentary Breaking Free strategy session.
Cassandra, we're so happy to have you on Grit and Grace today. Would you share your story with us and our friends who are listening?
Yes, I would love to. So growing up, I grew up in a strong Christian home. I have a younger sister and parents who love me. And so outside looking in, my life looked pretty great. But underneath, there were these several things going on that were coming together to create this perfect storm. So the first was I really probably started struggling with depression and anxiety in fifth, sixth grade. Now that I can look back, I started dieting around the same time. I'm a sensitive person and recently learned that I'm officially a highly sensitive person.
Welcome to the club.
We love HSPs here.
How I wish I would have known that then. And of course, you know, I was growing up in a society that said, in order to be somebody, in order to be beautiful and valuable and lovable, you have to look a certain way. And so all these came together and they did culminate in two eating disorders. The first, binge eating disorder, and the second is orthorexia. This is actually a new kind of eating disorder defined as an unhealthy obsession with healthy eating.
Wow.
So for almost two decades, I battled who I call Ed and the gang. So Ed stands for the eating disorders, of course. And then the gang represents the people-pleasing, perfectionism, legalism, those isms that seem to go along with a lot of times those who struggle with disordered eating or eating disorders. And to say that my life was difficult and painful living with depression, anxiety, and these eating disorders just doesn't really convey the depth and agony of what I lived through. So I like to give a word picture. So imagine I'm laying on the ground. I'm about 5'3", not super tall, but this several ton rock is completely covering my body. It's huge. There's so much weight that there's no space between the ground and the rock. So I'm paralyzed, I'm crushed. There's no light, there's no oxygen. And that's basically what I describe what my life was like for almost two decades. My shames and perfectionism said I couldn't let anyone know, right? Because from the outside looking in, things looked really great. I did well in school, had friends. And then I would say my recovery really started in 2011 when I started this intensive Bible study. I got into counseling and the Lord really started working on those root wounds. I had a lot of little T traumas in my childhood growing up that I, you know, hadn't been aware of. And so the Lord really started to work. But that was also when I developed the orthorexia. So I became obsessed with clean eating. I wasn't going on a diet. I was eating healthy. But it just snowballed because all of a sudden I started losing weight that I'd never lost before. And so all this praise started coming in. And you know, even close family and friends, you know, were like, wow, you look like a brand new person. You look incredible. And Ed was like, ooh, I'm on this. See, I told you, you would be more lovable and valuable if you were thinner. So you have to keep going. We did this much. Let's see what else we can do. And then it really wasn't until July of 2014 when I experienced the first of four traumatic brain injuries that the Lord literally knocked me on my back. So he took me out, knocked me out. And in one moment, all my day-to-day regular functioning abilities went out the door, let alone being able to do the extreme behaviors it took to stay in that body, such as like, you know, 10 to 12 hours of food prep on the weekend, because of course, I couldn't eat anything off my good food, good and clean food list. And then of course, it took hours and hours of obsessive exercise in order to be in that body. And so that was soon after that is when I came across intuitive eating, because see, I thought I had found freedom because I was in a smaller body. I was, you know, not anywhere close to what they say, but I was definitely closer than what I had been. And so it really was a blessing in disguise, even though the recovery from the traumatic brain injuries were very difficult and painful. But it really wasn't even an option for me to do those because I could barely get up and go to work. And so that's when really the Lord helped me recognize that I needed help because Ed was really going crazy, not being able to do these behaviors. And so I reached out to a dietitian who specialized in eating disorder. I talked to my family doctor. I told her the behaviors I was having and she formally diagnosed me. And I brought in some family members and these family members came around me. And they had tools, education, information, and love to start chipping away at that rock. You see, I thought that I had to get myself out because my type A personality says, if I work hard enough, I will achieve it. I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been impossible for me to do it on my own. I didn't have the resources or capabilities. So very slowly and painfully, Ed and the gang came off and I'm able to live in freedom. And so now the Lord has opened up doors for me to be able to go back and help other women who are trapped under their own Ed and the gang and to be one of their team members to come around them. Or for some people, just as I share my story, for me to just get down on the ground and to let them know I'm here. You're not alone. There is hope. Don't give up.
I love how you painted the picture of healing and community, and then you're offering to be part of that community. Beautifully said.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm very familiar with Ed. Those of our friends who are listening, who've been listening to Grit and Grace for a while, know that I spent 6 weeks in a neuropsychiatric hospital when I was 17 and became familiar with that personification of an eating disorder as an abusive boyfriend, as Ed. I find that a very powerful way to think of it, not necessarily him, but it. So on your website, Cassandra, I read you say, I help women who are trapped in unhealthy habits such as perfectionism, disordered eating, legalism, and people-pleasing so they can break free from dysfunctional behaviors in order to live free. And my first reaction was, how dare you call me out like that in such specific words, like, how did you know? Get out of my brain. But this is something I'm so fascinated with, is why is it that these topics that Amy and I have been writing about, we've been podcasting about for, I'm going to say a decade at least, perfectionism and people pleasing, why are these so intertwined with legalism and disordered eating? I'm not sure most people would necessarily see them connected.
Yeah, I understand. For so many years, I thought I was alone and I was the only one suffering. I hadn't heard anyone else tell me about how they were struggling and drowning or give me a picture of what was kind of going on. I could tell you that my life situation was miserable, but I couldn't tell you why. I mean, I would have blamed it on the eating, the food issues, but I wouldn't have been able to say why I had those. So as I started to share my story, I realized I wasn't alone. In fact, the quote from C.S. Lewis that comes to mind, he said, friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what, you too? I thought I was the only one.
Yeah.
And it just seems that there tends to be similar personality traits that tend to go along with the type A personality, the highly sensitive person. And let me reassure everyone, to be human is to have dysfunctional behaviors.
Well said.
Yes.
So there's no shame and condemnation with it, but probably because, you know, since I've been there, I use language and I use things and I share things in a way that only someone who's also been there can really get, because unless you have lived under the tyranny of the gang or, you know, your own gang or an eating disorder or just honestly chronic dieting and disordered eating, you don't have to have a full-blown eating disorder to be trapped under that rock.
Well said. Well said.
So diet culture is a thing, obviously. Define it for us, Cassandra. What is diet culture?
So stats say about 75% of American women have disordered eating. So there's an eating spectrum. So let me kind of give this picture. On one side, you have a really healthy, good relationship with food. On the other end of the spectrum is like the full-blown diagnosable eating disorder. And we can move along the spectrum at different points in our life, but in the middle is majority of that is disordered eating. Okay. So most women are within that disordered eating realm, either moving maybe towards the eating disorder or coming away, depending on maybe life circumstances going on. And honestly, so many women are struggling with this, but most of us don't even know what diet culture really is. So I'm going to use the definition by Christy Harrison. She's an anti-diet dietitian, and she says diet culture is when we worship thinness and equate it to health and moral virtue. It promotes weight loss as a means of attaining a higher status, demonizes certain ways of eating while elevating others, discriminates and oppresses against people who don't match up with its supposed picture of quote unquote health. And this includes the new wellness culture. You know, I'm not dieting, I'm just eating healthy.
You are stepping all over my toes today, Cassandra.
Well, and I appreciate, Cassandra, how you pointed out that you went from one eating disorder to another that was really cloaked. I mean, it looked so healthy and it got you so much positive feedback. And yet, on the external, it looked great. That's the perfectionism part. Go ahead, Amy.
Well, I was about to say, it's the perfectionism. Not only does it look healthy, it looks virtuous, right? And you've connected the whole virtue piece to it as well. It's fraught.
Absolutely. So you've defined diet culture for us. So with so many women dieting, and my goodness, my heart broke that you started as a fifth and sixth grader. And I know this is true. I mean, as a former junior high and high school student, I watched my girls making choices that broke my heart. So many women are dieting. Why don't the diets work?
Right. So statistically, 95% of diets fail. People will lose the weight and gain it back within 3 years. And, you know, if you went to the doctor and you had a health condition, he's like, I'm going to prescribe this pill for you, but it has a 95% failure rate. You'd be like, let's try something else. This makes no sense for me to try yet.
And the side effects stink. On the side. Keep going. Sorry.
Okay. So I actually want to reference the Minnesota Starvation Study, which actually took place in World War II. And I think this study really gives the best scientific evidence of why diets don't work. So during World War II, there's a study where these conscientious objectors volunteered, and they started out by having a normal amount of calories, and that was approximately 3,500 calories. So then they were put on a semi-starvation diet. Okay, this is not a full starvation diet, but the amount of calories were around 1,500, which is actually like 300 calories more than what most diets say you should be eating.
I was about to say, because I've counted those calories, so I'm a little shocked. Keep going.
So the symptoms that came about, the effects of the semi-starvation were startling. So it included a metabolic rate decrease of 40%. The men became obsessed with food. They had a heightened food cravings, talked of food and collecting recipes. Their eating style changed. They went from ravenously gulping to stalling out the eating process so they could eat as long as possible. Some men reported episodes of bulimia. Some exercised obsessively to be able to eat more. And personalities changed. And in many cases, there was the onset of apathy, irritability, moodiness, and depression. And this is staggering, but during the refeeding period, when they were allowed to have the regular amount of calories again, they experienced hunger pains, which became more intense, and hunger was insatiable. They would have binges that would add up to 8,000 to 10,000 calories, and it took them on average 5 months to normalize their eating after.
Wow. Okay, so you've got something better for us. Good news is coming. What is intuitive eating, Cassandra?
Yes. So intuitive eating is a non-diet, weight neutral, internal versus an external approach of diet. So it basically means that we're not going to look at what external people are saying that we should eat. We're going to actually listen to the body that God gave us, which we know from scripture, there's only one of us, never been one before, never will be one again. And so intuitive eating is really about learning how you were created and how to best care for the body that God gave you. And there's 10 principles. So I want to read those. So reject the diet mentality, honoring your hunger, making peace with food, challenge the food police, discover the satisfaction factor, feel your fullness, cope with your emotions with kindness, respect your body, movement, feeling the difference, and honoring your health with gentle nutrition.
That sounds really engaging. So our faithful friends who listen to Grit and Grace always have the best questions.
So the first question that was submitted here, I'm going to take a little twist on it. I'll go ahead and read it and then take the twist on it. She asked, what is the best scripture reference in regards to healthy eating, exercising, and taking care of ourselves? And that question made me first wonder, what scriptures or biblical teachings have you seen women use in ways that are harmful to their bodies and their beliefs?
So I think one of the biggest detriments is when we take diet culture and we believe it as biblical truth.
Hmm.
So for example, we really have bought into diet culture's lie that says if you aren't thin, then you aren't healthy, and therefore you aren't taking care of the body that God gave you, and therefore you're not godly and holy.
Wow. I don't know that I would have thought of it that way, but you're 100% correct. Like, that is a slippery slope with only a few dots to be connected there.
And I want to use my own story experience as an example. So when I lost the weight that I never lost before with orthorexia, I was in a smaller body. People would look at me. They were praising me. They would probably, by looking at me, have said that I had been healthy. But it was taking an eating disorder for me to be there, right? And then there were a lot of physical things, like, you know, I was hungry all the time too, and not satisfied with what I was eating. I still had binging as well. But then recovery meant that I had to give up the whole good and bad foods that God gave us, all foods, right? And So to really give myself permission to eat. And when you take away that deprivation, then you take away the binging. So then all of a sudden I can eat the ice cream without going overboard, because it's not the last meal mentality where like, oh, I have to eat this all tonight because I'm never again going to be able to have ice cream, right? But for me, eating healthy, moderately, honoring the signals that God has given me in my body, it ended up meaning that there was weight gain. So of course, as the weight came back on, the praise went silent again, but I was healthy for the first time in my life. And so people looking at me and who had maybe especially had seen some weight gain would say, I'm not being healthy. But the truth was, is that for the first time in my life, I had a healthy, non-obsessed relationship with food that was balanced and well-rounded.
Mm. You know, I hear you were using words like satisfaction and, you know, losing the restriction. Like there are so many fraught words in all of this. And like Amy said, so much of them are about value. And I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, you know, being able to listen to your own body, being able to trust yourself. I mean, these are things that as Christian women are, at least I wasn't raised that way. I was raised to trust external sources of authority, certainly not myself. So do you have a particular scripture that you find is helpful that can help a woman engage in healthy eating, exercise, and taking care of herself?
So Genesis 1:27 comes to mind. So God created mankind in his own image. And I think two things I take away this: our value and our worth as image bearers versus the animals who don't have that value, right? As image bearers. And then also we're image, not actually God. So when we buy into diet culture and believe that our bodies need to be the most important thing and they become an idol, then that also means that we're not living as image bearers because we are trying to be God.
Well, you just stepped on some toes.
Gracious, that's good. It's good. Hurts so good, which we always say. What would you love for people to understand about the connection between diet culture and disordered eating?
So diet culture, dieting creates disordered eating and eating disorders. If you want to, you know, mothers in their best intentions want to help their children, you know, with eating, but so often I hear again and again, you know, I started dieting with my mom.
Wow.
Right? But research is staggering. 14 and 15 year olds were studied, and those who dieted just moderately were 5 times more likely to develop an eating disorder. And those who did extreme restriction with their diets, 18 times more likely. And so I just really, really encourage moms, particularly because I have a heart for teens, because I, you know, started struggling as a pretty early teen, to just really encourage to work on their own relationship with food and body image without diets, because dieting will negatively affect their children.
Yeah, I was sharing with Cassandra earlier that, and I don't mean to throw anybody under the bus here. My mother has passed and she certainly did the best she could with the tools she had. But I remember she's the one who taught me to weigh myself on a weekly basis. She would weigh herself and I would weigh myself. And she had a sign on the fridge that said, "Nothing tastes as good as being thin feels." And, you know, for me, that was just normal. I grew up seeing that on the fridge. And now that I think about it, I'm like, well, clearly there's a lot of food she never had. Because I'm sorry, that just is not
true. She's not been to France.
Exactly. And just more than anything, that is a sad thing to me that was the major magnet on the fridge. And then for lunch, she had this substance called figurines. And the best way I can describe it is two thin slabs of styrofoam with sawdust in between, dipped in a brown substance that in the box said chocolate. It tasted nothing like chocolate whatsoever. But, you know, it just reminds me of what you're talking about, Cassandra, in terms of the deprivation and in terms of the need to fit into the size two as being such a mark of value. And, you know, the importance of breaking that pattern for future generations.
So another verse that really totally changed my life, because I do believe obviously that we are temples of the Holy Spirit and God, and right, so it's important to take care of ourselves. But diet culture says it has to be an idol and it's a one size fits all. But the biblical worldview, I believe, says we serve God, not idols. And he's the creator of big and small. So Psalm 104:25 says, "There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small." And I thought, you know, everywhere we look in creation, like if you walk through the forest, trees are a wide variety of different sizes. So why then did I really believe, and I did, that all women were supposed to fit this very narrow, small mold?
Wow.
It just, I just don't see that all around me. Is that is how God works and creates.
It's a great observation.
It is. So you're pointing us towards freedom. What do you mean by living free in Christ, Cassandra? For the woman who feels trapped in this diet culture and mentality, what's possible for her?
Well, the reality is none of us will be 100% free this side of heaven. So it doesn't mean that my life has become perfect and everything is just wonderful. But living free means that my thoughts are not always focused on food and my body. I actually have space to think about other things and actually live my life. When I'm hungry, I can now eat, so I don't have to obsess about food. I can enjoy food. I move my body in a way that feels good, not to contort into this size that was not how I was created. And the other thing too is now I have tools to be able to specifically address Ed and the gang when they come up, because in many ways, they're a gift. Because if I all of a sudden start having the thought, oh my gosh, I need to get thin again because I need to get in control of my life. I'm out of control. That to me is like, warning, warning, warning. There's dysfunctional behaviors going on, which means there's stuff underneath that needs addressed. I'm hurting. I'm having thoughts that are triggering these behaviors. So now I can see them, recognize them, and then I can use the tools that I've developed and practiced and habits to be able to counter them.
That all sounds so appealing and so compassionate. Very, very, very compassionate. So you're a certified health, life, and mental health coach. Could you tell us a little bit about what that means? And then also tell us about your coaching and how someone would book a complimentary breaking free strategy session with you.
Right. So as a coach, I very much focus on the present. And one of the things I love is that I'm different from a counselor in that I work with my clients in between sessions through text and email. So often we struggle, right? In between, you know, I know in between my counseling sessions, I'd like, I have to make my list of things I need to bring up, right? In counseling. But where change can really take place is like when you're triggered, when you're feeling overwhelmed, to reach out and have someone help you think. Because, right, your prefrontal cortex goes offline and you just can't think in the same way as before. And so I can act as one's prefrontal cortex and help them to bring it back online and to really kind of coach them through in the moment. And then what that does is that interrupts the neural pathways that have been going to those old behaviors for decades, many times, and start slowly to create new pathways. And it's slow and it doesn't happen overnight, but having someone ahead of you saying, this is normal, this is part of what this looks like, helps you from giving up. Sometimes, you know, there's battle fatigue in regards to just doing the work. And so someone just say, okay, let's just take a little easy this week versus the all or nothing thinking that so many of us have, right? Well, I messed up. Might as well just eat the whole gallon of ice cream. So I call it swimming in the gray. So helping women learn how to not live in black and white, but swimming in the gray, which is so scary for those of us who like the black and white, the legalism.
Yes, it still sounds good, but daunting a little bit.
Okay, so Amy, I think I hear Cassandra. I think I hear you describing one of our favorite words, neuroplasticity.
Yes, we're brain geeks. We love that.
Yes, me too.
Cassandra, what closing words do you have for our friends who are listening to help them live free in Christ?
Well, I'd like to offer 5 of your listeners a complimentary breaking free strategy session. So the first 5 who email me at info@cassandrabaker.com, and Cassandra's with a K, I would be happy to schedule them one of the 90-minute sessions. But, okay, so the thing I want to leave your listeners with is there is hope. It's possible to live free and never give up, because the only way that you will for sure never know what freedom living is like is if you give up.
Friends, we so appreciate you tuning in each and every week.
And we're especially grateful to certified health, life, and mental health coach Cassandra Baker for making this week's episode of Grit and Grace possible.
Check out this episode's webpage at gritandgracethepodcast.com/episode256. There you'll find this week's transcript and a link to Cassandra's website. And remember, the first 5 Grit and Grace listeners who email her at info@cassandrabaker.com, that's Cassandra with a K, will get a complimentary breaking free strategy session.
Be sure to join us next week when we'll be talking with Cassandra Baker again, and this time about how perfectionism and people pleasing can be part of our problem with food. Plus, she offers a new understanding about the way we eat.
For today, grow your grit.
Embrace God's grace.
And as God reveals the next step to live your one life well,
we'll be cheering you on. So take it.